Kansas City vocal artist Lee Langston has been a fixture on the local music scene for the past several years. His covers of neo-soul music have attracted faithful audiences of young urban professionals. Langston's tribute shows celebrating the music of artists like Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill have drawn sold-out crowds. He recently assembled a musical tribute to neo-soul artist D'Angelo, and Susan was there to check it out.
The mostly female crowd started arriving early to the record bar. The lights were low, and the venue has a warm, cavernous quality. Dressed in the vibrant colors of summer, women sip Cosmos and French martinis while waiting for the D'Angelo tribute show to begin. I asked some of the women what attracted them to this event.
Lee Langston has always done a wonderful job of bringing wonderful sounds to Kansas City, especially for those of us that love the neo-soul R&B scene.
He always puts on a really good production. I mean, I just like the atmosphere of the events that he puts on, and it's always good music and good times with me and my friends.
I like that he supports all artists. He brings together artists that maybe wouldn't be working together. He shares the stage, and you don't have to do that, but he provides opportunities for everyone's personality to shine.
I've seen Lee do the Erykah Badu tribute, and I've seen the Lauryn Hill, and I think, like, Kansas City's lucky to have him. I'm thrilled.
Show starts, it's standing room only at the record bar, and the stage is crowded too. Not only is the prototype band on stage, but Lee Langston has invited a variety of local crooners to share their talents. The set begins with D'Angelo's hit, Brown Sugar. There's a mellow energy in the place as most people rock back and forth to the sultry and soulful music. The scene is electric, talented musicians, an enthusiastic crowd, and music that vibrates with passion. Not long after the record bar, Langston explained how he, like generations of soul singers, have learned music from his family and the church.
Pretty much everyone in my family either sings or plays an instrument. My dad is a singer. My mother, she did some singing. My grandmother was a singer. My grandfather back in Oklahoma was a performer also. My dad's side of the family were all heavy church, so all of them sang. I can remember at times getting together with them as a child, and my dad was like one of 13, 14 kids, and they would just get together and have these big music things at the house all the time where it would just... there would be nonstop singing, and I would just sit there as a child in amazement to just look around and go, wow, like my entire family, they are all singers. You know, I thought all my family were movie stars or something back then, because I'm like, they can all sing.
Lee Langston grew up in Kansas City, and he spent years performing with gospel groups like the popular St. James United Methodist Voices of Praise Choir. At first, he performed secular music for an occasional party, but he didn't get serious about performing it publicly until about 4.5 years ago. Since then, he's become among the city's most popular singers in the neo-soul genre.
Yeah, it's like feel-good grown folk music, but it's not old school, if that makes sense. It's like it feels good. It's very grown. It's very sexy. But generally, when you say grown, they go, "Oh, that's the old school. That's the old school. That's the Isleys. That's the..." And it's not really the Isleys. You know what I mean? It's grown and sexy, kind of by itself, sitting over here.
And it still draws upon, you know, the soul genre.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I think what I like about the neo-soul genre is that it pulls in young and it pulls in old, as opposed to, you know, people just, they like to box you in things, and when it becomes adult contemporary, they're just like, oh, that's adult contemporary, so they'll just put it over there, you know, and neo-soul seems to kind of reach out to a lot of different people within the soul music genre.
Now, you connect with your audience. What are you feeling when you're up there on stage and you're singing?
This may sound weird to some people, but I when I'm on stage, I kind of channel people's energy. Like, you know when you're getting good energy in the room and when you're getting bad energy in the room. And there are people that want to relate with the person that's singing. So, you know, all of our experiences are generally the same. you know, we've gone through a lot of the same things. So really, you just talk to them. You just engage. Some people find it hard to engage with people that are staring at them. But it's for me, I find it really easy to engage with them because people hear a song and you see them respond. It's like, yeah, that's my cut. That's my jam. You know, and you talk to them because they relate to that song.
Girl, it's so me. But it's so late. And if you want, you can decide.
Now, you seem to always be evolving in your creative projects. What inspires your creativity?
At the BET Awards just recently, Frankie Beverly got on and said something that really should have rang out loudly amongst all of the artists that were watching, is that no matter what they are doing, do the music that you like to do, perform what you like to do. Don't always fall into what everyone else says is hot, because people will, you know, if they feed that to you long enough, you'll believe it. And that's kind of how I feel about what's on the radio. A lot of what's on the radio is what they're trying to feed us to make us believe is hot. And a lot of it I don't like. I mean, it kind of is what it is. Soul music has kind of lost a lot of its soul, in my opinion. I am the supporter of the unheard voice. Like there are all these amazing singers and musicians that we don't hear about in the Midwest. And I've always been on this like mission to make sure that people hear them. So when I started covering songs, about more than half of what I brought in were some of the underground artists that I had heard about in various places all over. And I wanted to introduce that music to these audiences. Well, the funny thing about it is since people here in Kansas City hadn't heard of a lot of the artists, they thought a lot of the music I was doing was my original stuff. So I had to kind of teach them, you know, well, no, that's not mine. Actually, that is this person.
My woman, why are you sleeping with my woman? Came as a total surprise. I just can't believe my eyes.
This is Susan Wilson, and you're listening to Casey Kearns. I'm talking to Kansas City artist Lee Langston, founder of the band Prototype. So if you're an African-American artist, do you face different hurdles as well?
Oh, yes. Here, it's no secret. I've had the discussion with several of the venue owners, and it's that piece of, you know, for the venues that don't have an urban demographic or don't do anything in reference to soul music, making them believe that, you know, they all see it. They have one image of how it looks in a lot of cases. And some of them will admit that they think it's going to be a crowd of rowdy people that come through. They think everything that's in the urban demographic is hardcore rap, which there's a place for hardcore rap, and they shouldn't fear that, because I've always kind of wondered, like, why would you have an issue with hardcore rap when there's hardcore rock and the crowds are the same? There's just a racial divide in that. So, you know, because I go listen to all types of live music, I see the same things play out, but I notice that there seems to be a fear when it comes to the rap genre that, you know, I see the exact same things play out at the venues with the rock genre, but it seems to be like, oh, it's just rock. That's okay. I'm not understanding why it's okay in rock, but not okay in rap. And it's been this thing of when I bring through my audience, which are generally urban professionals that love good, grown, sexy music. They're always shocked, and they talk to me about it later, and they're like, wow, like, where has this audience been? We didn't even know this audience existed. I'm like, yeah, they exist. It's very difficult. It's almost a teaching thing that has to happen when you bring your audience in. We have to show these venues that, yeah, we are out there. We spend our money just like everyone else. We come to have a good time. And when we come in, the venue's going to be left just the same way that it was, you know, when we came. So a lot of them don't get that.
Because of these barriers, is that why you're so passionate about nurturing young artists and giving them a place to showcase their talents?
Yes. Yes, it's exactly why. You know, it's that piece of there's a group of artists and musicians that have been here in the city doing things for years. And they realize, you know, we all realize that someone watched over us when we started. So it's our responsibility to protect the new artists, because there's so many artists out there that have had bad experiences. People see them get on these mics or get on the mics at the open mic scenarios, where a lot of people find a lot of new talent, and all they see are dollar signs. So they get these new artists and they misuse them for their own gain, you know, and so it takes people like us to come in and take them under our wing and go, hey, don't allow that to happen. Don't allow that to happen. Try to avoid doing that.
So what advice do you give?
I tell them the best thing that they can do is just to be authentically them, because a lot of people, you know, the opportunists do what they do, and they want to hop on what, again, is quote unquote hot. But I think the thing that has helped me in it is that you just get authentically what I bring to the stage, what it is that I want to bring. I bring that. Plus, you rest happy in that place, because it at that point, you're really, you know, gifts that we have, it's like it's God shining through us. So, you know, why would you go try and do something over there that's not authentically you, when you can do what's authentically you, and you can be married to that at the end and be okay with it, be very happy with that. So
now, speaking of your tribute shows, you've done Erykah Badu, you've done Lauryn Hill tribute shows. What inspires you to do these types of shows in the first place?
It's that piece of realizing that a lot of that good music that we love, because like you look at Lauryn Hill's album, and every person that you could go walk out onto the campus and ask someone about Lauryn Hill, and they'll all say the same thing. Like, that's a classic project that I could put on today and listen to it like it got released last Tuesday, and it still feels good like that. And it's something that came out in like 98 or something, you know. So it's just good music, and to me it's that good music that's missing. So for me, when people ask me why do I pick specifically, why am I specific about picking those artists? Those are artists that just changed the game for me. Lauryn Hill changed the game in music. D'Angelo changed the game in music. Erykah Badu really changed the game in music when she came out, and those are the artists that I picked.
Well, Lee Langston, thank you for joining us for KC Currents today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad that we got a chance to do this.
All of them wishing they could have you. And as a matter of fact, a bunch of them get you for the news fashion. I'm tired of having what you feel. I'm trying to go with the real.
Lee Langston has been working on a new CD of mostly original material. But he says there's also more tribute shows in the works, including one to Whitney Houston.
Thanks for tuning in to KC Currents. The show will be archived along with all of our past shows on the KC Currents page at kcur.org.
You can hear individual stories there, or sign up for our podcast, or then find us on iTunes. Contact us at kccurrents@kcur.org or on Twitter @kccurrents.